Welcome to the Nicholas Webb Show. Are you ready to unleash the power of innovation and technology in your business to drive growth and profit? Are you ready to make your organization future ready by getting the best insights from world-renowned experts? Then you've come to the right place. Now, here's your host, world-renowned innovation superstar and author, Nicholas Webb.
Well, hello, and welcome to the first of the Innovation Boom podcast series. You know, I've been working in the area of innovation in sort of a multi-dimensional way. I started my career as a technologist, inventing some technologies that range from one of the world's smallest medical implants to technologies like one of the first wearable technologies. So I really looked at it sort of at the ground level as an innovator. And of course, I made a lot of stupid mistakes and wasted a lot of money and really learned some important stuff from millions of dollars of mushroom clouds going up into the air. So from that, I developed a pretty interesting body of knowledge about, you know, what goes wrong. And eventually, you know, there was enough pain to where I decided that I'd start trying to learn how to make sure that I stopped failing at technologies. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of my technologies turned out to be multi-million dollar runaway successes, and I'm really proud of that. But, you know, honestly, I don't think that's particularly interesting when you compare it to the failures, because it was by doing that sort of autopsy, that post-mortem, you know, sifting through the wreckage of those mistakes that really taught me how to avoid failure. In a controlled way. You know, failure is, after all, the fueling force of innovation. So we can't completely get rid of it, but we can do a lot in terms of avoiding the obvious dumb things. Later on, as a management consultant, you know, going back 17, 18 years ago, I started the opportunity of building systems around innovation success, working with some of the top brands in the world. So I went from technology innovator to innovation management consultant, where I got to do this stuff for lots of different industries and lots of different companies and cultures and with very, very different goals and objectives. And it was from those combinations of lessons that I finally realized, you know, what this was all about, what worked. And, you know, after working with and connecting and reading the materials of all the other thought leaders in the area of innovation, one thing really became interesting to me. And this is it. When I look at companies that were winning at innovation, they were doing it because they were fast, fluid, and they had a sort of Apple-like OS elegance to the way in which they managed their innovation. But meanwhile, we've got all the innovation consultants that are out there creating systems and methods and open innovation and FFE systems and NPD systems and VOC systems and, you know, you name your alphabetic soup. There's some cool chart and graph and body of research and, oh my God, I mean, it's so complicated that even the smartest people on the planet need a Ouija board, a global positioning satellite, and a Sherpa to help guide them through this body of complexity. I think personally that the biggest mistake in innovation is that we've lost its simple elegance. We've lost its simple elegance. We are naturally innovative. I mean, we as human beings have creative power. Snakes can't cruise down the desert and say, hey, I would like to fly, but we can. Through our creative imagination, we can create its material equivalency. Its material equivalency of thought turns into these things, right? So what would happen if we started to look at innovation in the opposite way that we've looked at innovation? Because the truth of the matter is the overwhelming majority of innovation initiatives fail with mathematical certainty. Innovation fails all the time, most of the time. And you can bring in 30 consultants, it'll probably fail faster. What we really have to realize is that innovation is a team sport. It's people-powered. Innovation is people-powered. And if it is, and it is, then how do we create innovation strategies that are so simple and so straightforward and so elegant that anybody can understand their goals and their systems, and they're so beautiful that we all want to engage them? And that's the whole idea behind the Innovation Roadmap Project. Now, who's going to hate the Innovation Roadmap Project? It's the people who sell bureaucracy and systems and methods and technologies. They're going to hate this message because they're going to say, oh, but Nick, you can't take something as powerful as innovation and make it super simple. It's ridiculous. Well, we do that with everything else. If you take a look at the best accounting programs, they're iconic images that you press. If you take a look at the way in which we navigate, we're not using sextants and complex GPS technology anymore. We use an app and it tells us where we are, when we're going to get there. It even collaborates like Waze with other commuters to help us find our way. So the key to success and the reason that Apple did so well is it took the uber complexity of computing and it made it simple. It went from DOS to beautiful, delicious icons that we pressed and amazing things happened. Why can't we do that with innovation? Why can't we? Well, I started researching that very question. Why can't we make innovation as simple and as elegant and therefore as powerful as other disciplines in organizations? Turns out we can. And that's what this podcast series is all about. I'm going to take every aspect of the complexity of innovation and I'm going to do something that is so unorthodoxed and so wrong. And that is, I'm going to take it to where you could actually understand this stuff. I mean, look, I have to admit, this is confession time. There was a time in my poor evolution as an innovation management consultant that I couldn't resist the temptation of spewing out the multi-syllabology of hybrid words that nobody understands. I thought that was so cool. I loved graphs and charts and systems and processes and all of the dopey stuff that we do that destroys innovation. I love that because my clients judged me by being the keeper of the magic wisdom of innovation. At this point in my life, I want to do something special. I want to take that body of research and I want to bring it into something that the person that's working at the front counter can understand. I was presenting this to a friend of mine that was in the innovation space for some time. And I said, look, here's my idea. I want to make an innovation roadmap that is so simple that anybody can understand it. And I showed him the schematic overview of what this roadmap looks like. And he goes, Nick, you know, I've always respected you as a very smart guy. I mean, they use your books as textbooks. You're a professor. You're a thought leader, a number one best-selling author. You're a successful innovator. You've had all the street cred, man. I thought you were going to show me something amazing here. But what you've shown me, Nick, is something that my 10-year-old would have done. And I looked at him and I said, bingo. Exactly. That was the goal. If innovation is people power, then we need to be able to articulate and engage and gamify and socialize innovation in a way that makes sense to everybody, no matter their job across the organization or their level of efficacy in the area of innovation. I don't think there's anything particularly interesting in taking something that's complex and adding complexity to it. I mean, after all, again, Apple Computer, one of the most successful businesses in the world, started by creating the perfect UX. Their user experience took the complexity of writing code and they turned it into an intuitive, iconic-based interface. That's beautiful. Not only was it beautiful, it drove tremendous amounts of utilization, adoption, and productivity. Because you don't have to be a computer programmer like you did in the DOS days. Now all you have to do is to be able to understand what images mean and press buttons. And the magic of the computer, the power, the complexity of the system is behind the screen, not in front of the screen. And I think that's the way innovation was intended to be. It's beautiful. It's elegant. It's a philosophy. It's a belief. It's a system. It's an order. But to the extent that everybody can understand it, that's when we do really, really cool things in our business. Now, again, the consultants and the purveyors of the technologies and the complexity of innovation, they're not going to like this message. It's going to be too simple. It's going to be incomplete, according to them. I've already heard that. Nick, you can't do this. What's your system around your, you know, crowdsourcing and open innovation activities? And what about this? And what about developing complex matrices around measuring the value of innovation and blah, 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 blah. It's as if they're freaked out that somebody is going to, you know what it reminds me of? It's a lot like a person that's decided that, look, I've been a musician for a long time. And I've done some really cool tricks out there. Obviously, I can't tell anybody how I do them because then I can't charge money to entertain people with these magic tricks. It's almost the guy who is the turncoat that goes out there and says, okay, everybody, here's how we do this sawing person in half trick. That's really what I want to do here. It's too simple to make it complex. Now, here's the asterisk, you know, whatever statement. Yeah, there is some stuff that when you get into large Fortune 100 companies where you really have to build out some connective tissue to your innovations so that you can justify the expenditure of an innovation. And yes, there are some things that go beyond the simplicity of the roadmap in general. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's not really where the problem lives. The problem lives more in terms of our organizations being able to collaborate around ideas. And that's really where the value of innovation happens anyway. So I'll give them that. There are some stuff out there that I'm not going to include in this program. And there are some things that are intentionally omitted, not because I don't understand them. I just think they're boring and in many cases irrelevant, and in some cases maybe even dangerous. So I'm looking forward to be able to spend some time with you. I'm going to interview some really cool people that have done some amazing things and to share with you their story of how they have driven massive innovation without big, bloated, dopey innovation programs that are designed to destroy the beauty that is collaborative innovation within organizations. I'm going to provide some proof to show you that this stuff really works. And I'll also provide proof that if we get too bureaucratic and too risk-centric in our innovation activities, then we are using something that we call innovation to actually justify risk management. I can't tell you how many times in my innovation management practice that I've gone in and have done the hazmat, in other words, mopped up after failed innovation activities, only to realize that they were using the term innovation very loosely and very poorly. In other words, they were trying to call risk management innovation because it sounds better than risk management. They were playing the game not to lose rather than playing the game to win. And they were trying to use innovation as their justification for sitting in their cubicles, hiding out from anything that looked potentially risky. I hope that this program will provide you some really simple, clear tips like, hey, wow, this is how we collaborate in organizations. Here's how we host a hackathon. Here's how we actually get instantaneously company-facing innovation activities that are really, really powerful that drive successful returns on the investment. I want to show you how to do some cool stuff that I've been doing with clients successfully for decades. I'm going to show you the shortcuts. I'm going to show you what to avoid. And mostly importantly, I'm going to show you how to make innovation real in your business. I can't wait to share the next year with you and the innovation roadmap journey. I think it's going to be fun. Thanks again.